During the last years of the Alter Rebbe's life, he gave his son, Rav Doiber, additional responsibilities. And one of the most significant of these responsibilities was answering the questions people asked Alter Rebbe and Yechidus about their Avodah and how to make their Avodah better. Once Rav Doiber became Rebbe, he also began answering questions about people's livelihood and other everyday matters like health and family issues. Often, many times, all that was needed was advice or a little money assistance. And his gabbai would take care of these things. But other times, there was nothing short of a miracle would help this person. And to the Rebbe, making miracles was not considered such a wonder. And if this was the only way to help, make a miracle. His daughter, Rebbe Tzachaya Mushka, who married the Tzemach Tzedek already by now, she said, I think she was yelling at the Hasidim who were talking about the miracles of the Tzemach Tzedek, and she was like, it's miracles of a Rebbe. And she says, with my father, miracles were lying around under the table, but the Hasidim didn't interest themselves in picking them up. Meaning, what makes you follow the Rebbe? Because he could do miracle after miracle after miracle? No! And she said they were only interested in understanding his chassidus. Yet, the chassidim knew that if they needed a miracle, the Rebbe would perform one. And this was especially true one day a year on Lag BaOmer, when the Mittler Rebbe would participate in the celebration. They would always go into the fields on Lag BaOmer, and he would say chassidus, and then he would bench anyone who came to him. And chassidim who were desperate, they desperately needed a bracha for a miracle, they waited for this day a whole year. If someone needed a bracha for children, especially looked forward to it, because they knew that their tefillahs would be fulfilled because the Rebbe would be in very good mood and he would bench everyone. And in spite of the doctor's warning to him not to drink any mashke, at this time he took a lot and he performed many wondrous miracles on that day, every year on that day. Now, although he helped everyone who came to him, he recognized the truth of the situation. At the end of the day, he can't help everyone. Thousands of Jewish families were struggling. And many of them weren't just like struggling, oh, we're trying to make ends meet. They were struggling to put food on their table. And he realized that it's not enough to help this guy, this guy, this guy. No matter how many, the situation itself would have to change. Now, even though these efforts required would be very severe, very tough, and it would affect his health, especially because he took another Yid's pain personally and it hurt him, but he put his health aside and started helping the thousands of Jewish families in need. Entire communities were in severely desperate situations. And he decided he's going to use the government's desire to express, they wanted to express its appreciation to the Rebbe, to his father, for helping them win the war. The Tsar himself showed this. Soon after the war, he gave the Mittler Rebbe the title of honored citizen for all generations, meaning not just him, but all of the citizens are honored citizens. Using this to his advantage, he successfully petitioned the government to get rid of some of the restrictions that started to happen to the Yidden shortly after the war. He worked very hard until in 1815, a year and a half after accepting the Nesius, the government accepted his father's 10-year-old request to give a large piece of land in Kherson and in elsewhere for Yidden to settle. And over a period of a few years, 22 colonies were established in Kherson. Colony is like a large group of houses in the same area, like a bungalow colony, a similar idea. Thousands of Jewish families settled there, and they're able to live there in peace. They earned a respectful livelihood, and some of it was actually very prosperous. They made a lot of money. And the sources of the success of these colonies continued for many years, basically for 100 years. until the outbreak of World War I. At that time, by the time World War I came around, over 100,000 Yidden lived in these areas. Now, the most important benefit was living in such an area. It's like a nice environment. It removed a lot of the pressures that were affecting the Yidden who lived in other locations. They were able to concentrate more on serving Hashem. And the Mittler Rebbe recognized this fact and wrote letters encouraging people, take advantage, move to Kherson, go get a good job over there. There's tons of people, there's a lot of farmland, become a farmer. While the opportunity to live in a very stable environment was a tremendous relief, but most of the Hasidim did not want to go. They're going to move. Kherson's very far away from Lubavitch. Why would we want to move there? And even if now they have a livelihood, we're talking about this place is 1,000 miles away from Lubavitch. It would take a month by a horse and wagon just to travel there. When would they be able to visit the Rebbe and hear his Chassidus? To them, it wasn't worth it. So these Chassidim accepted the fact, okay, I'd rather live in a little shack and be poor my whole life than to move away from the Rebbe. But the Mittler Rebbe saw that this is not a good idea. It was a very bad situation, Gashmias, physically. And when people are poor, you don't just suffer Begashmias. It hurts your Ruchnias too. You can't think straight by davening about you can't be thinking about Hashem if you're too worried how are you going to put bread on your table today. So to encourage them to go, he assured them, he said, I myself am going to travel to you. And when the Chassidim heard that the Mittler Rebbe would travel to them, many Chassidim said, okay, we're going. And they went. 2 years later, in 1817, he went to Kherson. However, he didn't just visit. He stayed in Kherson for 6 months, from Pesach until Elul. And in addition to saying Maimarim, he took an interest and participated in all their discussions, how the colony should work, both Begashmias and Beruchnias. However, so traveling back and forth would be very difficult, especially for someone like the Mittler Rebbe, who was not a healthy person. The Mittler Rebbe realized that there's no way he's going to be able to do this every year. So the following year, in order to keep his promise that people should hear Chassidus, he instructed the Chassid and Tzaddik, Reb Hillel Potter, to begin visiting the colonies every year. And to help Reb Hillel take this on willingly and enthusiastically, meaning why would a chassid want to travel there and stay there for months? That means he's away from Lubavitch at least 4 months a year. Why would he want that? So to help him go, that he should go with like kavana and a lot of chayis. So the Mittler Rebbe told him an experience that he had when he was there. He said, think, visualize in your head how these Hasidish farmers are standing in the fields, they're wearing yarmulkes, their tzitzis are over their shirts, and they're praising Hashem while working in the fields. They don't have to beg anyone for a livelihood. They pick up their eyes, right? And it's unlike working in a house or in a building or being in a school. When you're in the fields, you lift up your eyes to Shemayim. And this is the pasuk that says, Su'u Marai Meinechem, lift your eyes to the heavens. And this, the Rebbe said, is the essence of Shema. Shema, Shin Memayim, Shema Yisrael. Shema, Su'u Marai Meinechem. Su'u Marai Meinechem, lift your eyes to Shemayim. So, Reb Hillel was very famous. He had a very good talent for visualizing things in his head. So he stood there quietly for a moment as he was visioning this whole thing. And he then told the Rebbe, okay, I accept the shluchas. Let's do this. And the Mittler Rebbe appointed Reb Hillel to become a shadar, Shadar is a Rosh Teves for Shliach Drachmano, basically a messenger of Hashem. And it's commonly used to describe a messenger of the Rebbe. Now, you could say that's what Shluchim are, right? Yes. However, a Shadar is much more personal than a Shliach. A Shadar is a personal representative of the Rebbe, that the Rebbe goes to him and said, I'm giving you the powers to do what needs to be done in certain cases. And he said, I'm sending you there. His mission is to plant seeds of Ruchnius, meaning Sper Chassidus and Yiddishkeit, and gather Gashmius, meaning collect tzedakah. And while Chassidim would always give tzedakah to the Rebbe Shadar, there was a major difference between Rabbi Hillel and the other Shadarim. Every Shadar collected money from the Chassidim and gave it to the Rebbe, who would then give it out to different causes. But with Rabbi Hillel, the Mittler Rebbe told him to give the money himself to different activities. So he told him three types of activities you should give the money to. Number one, to help the Jewish soldiers who were stationed in the nearby city of Babroisk. Number two, remember, these are frum boys who were drafted into the army when they were 18. So you got to help them out. Next, number two was to hire milamdim, sheikhtim, mayalim for the whole area. And number three was money for pidyon shvuyin. And he also gave Reb Hillel the power to bench yidden. And Reb Hillel faithfully did his shlichus for the next 45 years. Every single year. This is, we're talking about way after the Mittler Rebbe was nistalik. And he kept doing this. He did a few months every year he was there, until he passed away in 1864. And he was actually in the middle of one of his trips when he passed away over there in Kherson. He's buried in Kherson. I don't know if you know where his caver is or not, but I don't know. In the years 1823 to 1825, 10 years after becoming a Rebbe, the Mittler Rebbe's health got worse to such an extent that for periods of time, he was not able to say Chassidus. The doctors instructed him to recuperate in the healing waters. They had hot springs in the city of Karlsbad. Karlsbad was a famous city that located in Germany. Many people would go there for the healing waters. Now, in order that the people he would meet in different communities that he's going to travel through shouldn't burden him with all the problems which would make his health worse, they advised him to go unrecognized. Just don't tell anybody who you are. Right? Shortly before receiving these instructions, but recognizing that his health was getting worse, he wrote to the Chassidim, before coming to Lubavitch, go to the designated Vad in your city. Every city had like a Vad of like three guys. And he said, perhaps they could help you about your problem. You don't have to always go to Lubavitch to fix your problems. Go to the Vad. And we're going to tell over what else the Mittler Rebbe told the Chassidim next time.